My name is Austin, and I am one of the pastors here, and we are starting a new series talking about gratitude and talking about a culture of generosity that is not only embedded in us as a church, but also it is embedded in each one of us from early beginnings. And we do that because we are disciples of Jesus, that we have been called by the Lord's name. And as disciples of Jesus, we want to apprentice our lives after Jesus. And we say these things and repeat these things consistently as a reminder that the Lord always gives to his people of who we are, whose we are, and what we're called to do. And those things, as apprentices of Jesus, are threefold. To be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did. And then this morning, we're going to talk about the practice of generosity. And as I was thinking about that, I remember this last week, one run came in, two runs came in, three runs came in, four runs came in, and five runs came in. And five is the max that you can allow the other team to score. And I remember this girl, this 10-year-old girl, stepping off the mound and coming over, tears welling up in her eyes, and is about to lose it. Because the weight of feeling that she had let her teammates down, that she was not able to produce enough strikes and outs to get us out of the jam, to put us behind, and it was too much. And she broke. And so as we coaches met her, she surprised us. She goes, "I know what you're going to say." And I said, "Well, what are we going to say?" She goes, "I'm an East Lake Wolf. I'm a team player. I'm a good sport. We play hard. We have fun." I was like, "That's correct." And how do we learn those things? Practice. Practice. Let's do it again. And I thought about that moment as this girl who is losing it, and I don't know if you have been losing it in your life lately, or you feel like you are just living a blissful inning in your life. But we need to be reminded consistently that we are part of the team and that there is a purpose that God has placed in our lives. And that if who we are and the practices that we do help solidify who we are and what we do. And this morning, what we want to talk about is this idea and this sense that generosity is not only our identity, it is not only the culture that it is enamored within everything that we are and what we do. It's pervasive, but yet it requires practice. It is who we are, it is the values that we hold, and it is what we do. So if you'll join me this morning and turn to Genesis chapter 12, we'll be starting in just the first three verses. I always encourage you, if you have your Bible, to have it in front of you, whether that's physical or digital, as we will be talking about just these verses, but in the context of all of God's Word. And so this is what the Word of the Lord says. "The Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.'" Will you join me in prayer this morning? Father, there's people here that are asking, "Where are you, Lord?" And then there's a group of people that are saying, "Ah, there you are." And then there are people in between, on the spectrum of doubting and seeing. So we pray a simple prayer, consistently, out of a longing of our heart. God, give us eyes to see you. Allow our hearts to feel you. And open our minds to know you. We ask you all this in your name. Amen. Friends, the reality too, when we talk about generosity, when we look at the text of Abram, one of the things that jumps out right away is it's not what you have, it's who you are. That word blessed is not what you have, but it's who you are. But in our cultural society, when you are on social media and you look up hashtag blessed, what you will often see is a category of blessedness by the job that you have, the things that you have accumulated, the success that has been prevalent in your life, or the places that you go and visit and vacation at. That these are the epitome of what it means to be blessed. This is the narrative, this is the story that is told to us every moment of every day. We hear this selling point everywhere we go, every moment of the day, from your waking to your sleeping, from your coming and your going. We are blessed by the accumulation of material possessions or success. That we believe, or we are told to believe, that what we have is a determination of who we are. And so thus, being blessed is something to attain. And that ability to attain it is a moving target based on whoever you look to define what is blessed. Whether that is family members, whether that's coworkers, whether that's neighbors, whether that's social media influencers, that you are what you have. You are the embodiment of who you are is what you have. Not that I'm judging what you're wearing right now, but you're telling me who you are. Right? But the thing, the fallacy that we find is that the truth that comes in scripture is that from Psalm 50, when you're writing and understanding who God is, it says, this is from God, that for every animal of the forest is mine. And the cattle on the thousand hills, I know every bird in the mountains and the insects in the fields are mine. Everything is the Lord's. Everything. There is not something that you have which God doesn't know about that you can offer him that isn't saying that's already mine. There's nothing you can bring to him that he hasn't seen, created, or is the owner of. Everything is his. Everything is his. So blessed and being blessed isn't the product of attaining things. It is the identity that is bestowed upon you. That you have, in the same way that when we were drafting each of the softball girls, we have drafted them. They are on our team, not by anything that they have done, but by clearly just the ability that we have chosen them. Abram was the same way. That the Lord showed up to him and said, you are mine. I have chosen you to be blessed among all other people. I have drafted you. You are on the team. You are blessed. There's nothing that he did or had that was worthy of him to be blessed. But God blesses us. And if we are blessed, and he says that he will bless us, that God blesses us not to have more, but to give more. That God looks at Abram and says, I choose you. You are blessed above all others. I have chosen you to be the beginning of my people. And I will bless you. Not only are you blessed, but I will bless you. This is not like the blessing isn't just a contingent on what he does in that moment. That I will bless you is both a happening now and a continuation for the rest of his days. That from the moment right there when he is standing before the Lord and the Lord is communicating to him that he is going to be the start of God's great people, that the blessing right now is going to start today and going to continue. That God will faithfully continue the blessing of his people every day. At the beginning of the story, not in the middle to wait to see how things happen and how they flow out. That God has said that right now, in the beginning of the story, I will bless you because you are my child. One of the things that we see in the idea of what it is to be blessed and also to be a blessing, to that you will not only be blessed, but he will bless us, is that in Paul, it's continuing throughout all scripture of this idea from starting with Abram, that we are blessed and he is going to bless us. What is the value there? What is the culture that is pervasive in our people as God's children? It says this in 2 Corinthians, that God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Again, it's two words right there that are incredibly important. So that. That God, that you are blessed, and that God is going to bless you so that you will be ready in all times to do good. The value that is inherent in God's people is that he is going to bless you so that you are able and ready to bless others at all times. That as a community, the value is to be ready. To be ready at a moment's notice. That God's people are in the business of doing good. Not only to one another, but it says for its neighbor's good. That you are blessed and you are going to be blessed, and I'm going to bless you so that you might be ready to bestow that on other people. This is why at Pine Lake, one of our 5-year goals is to cultivate a culture of generosity. And the important word there is cultivate. Because one of the things is that you can understand that you are blessed, that you are God's child, that you are in the family, and nothing is going to challenge that. There's nothing that you do are going to pull you out, that you are marked as his masterpiece. You are his child, but it doesn't mean that who you are goes any further than that. That those have to bleed into your characteristics, your values, and that the culture that is pervasive in our community is one to be that of generosity. But you have to cultivate it. In the same way, this spring, that if any of you are gardeners like Sherman and his mom, that before you go out and start planting, you have to start cultivating the soil. You actually have to think about what you're putting next to where. You have to enrich the soil with the nutrients that you need at the beginning and at every stage. You have to feed it. You have to water it. You have to care for it. That is something that is of value, that you have put things in the ground that you want to care for, and you have to cultivate it. It's not like the infomercials to set it and forget it. But we are in a culture that says set it and forget it. But values need to be cultivated. Set it and forget it is just a way to consume. Cultivating is a way in which we live. The values that determine who we are and what we do. So at Pine Lake, we want to cultivate a culture of generosity. It means that it might not be in all of our lives. It might not be where we want it, but there is a beginning point, and that beginning point starts this year. That we are going to cultivate and continue to not only respond to God's faithfulness, that all things are his, that he has blessed us, and he will bless us so that we might be a blessing. This is the culture that we want to be pervasive in, what we want to just go through the bones. We want this something not only just that we believe in or we say really nicely and have a good catchphrase, but we want this to get so far deep into our bones that it just comes out. But it's not there yet. It's not always there yet. But here's the thing. You take the first step, and then you take the next step. That's the way cultivation works. You take the first step, and then you take the next step. And so that as you continue to take next step and next step and next step, you've established a rhythm in your life that continues on because there's always a next step. So I want to pause for a moment. Usually the application comes at the end, and there some will come, but I want you to think about this for a second. And the question I want you to think about is, who are you? Who are you? And secondly, what is your life cultivating? What is your life cultivating? Because without practice, without a practice, that we will forget our identity and let go of the values that define us. This is what happens. We have to practice. Without practice, we forget and we let go. I remember at the end, the top of the next inning, all the girls come out and they come to the coaches and get ready for the positions. And we change them everyone depending on how many girls there are. But at that time, I just wanted to set a precedent. I looked down at all of them. I said, same positions. And many of them were excited. But the girl who just pitched the last top of the inning was not. She was mortified. She didn't want to go out there. And she looked at me and she said, why are you doing this to me? And I said, how do we get better? We practice. At that moment, she didn't need me to tell her of what she had done wrong and what will happen if she continues to do wrong. What she needed from us as coaches is to put her in a place where she could practice the values that were inherently deep within her, that nothing was going to challenge her spot on the team, and the result of what happened in the top of the inning wasn't going to change the values she lived by. What actually is, by practice, they were going to solidify even deeper into her bones the truth that is told to her, that no matter what happens, but by practice, she solidifies the truth of who she are and the values that make up the team. This is the same thing for us, that we both can understand our deep-rooted identity in Christ, that we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and we can understand that the values of the kingdom of Jesus Christ is to be generous at all times, at all places, with all people. But we have to practice. We have to put into practice in our lives to solidify who we are and the values. We have to put ourselves in the place regular and consistently. That's practice. I don't know about you if you've ever joined a team, but you didn't have one practice, then do all the games, and then have a practice at the end. You have a practice, a regularity, where you're putting yourself in situations where you are solidifying who you are and what we're about. So for us, we need to practice habitually this idea of generosity. And maybe this is normal to you. Maybe this is the way that you are inherently wired, the way that God has done it. But for maybe some of you, it isn't. And you're like, what is generosity? What's the first step? Because I don't even know what the first step is. How do I take the next step? Well, one of the things is true not only about us as human beings is that you can't pour out what you don't have. That the statistics are wild. That a majority of our culture today is living beyond the means in which they have. And maybe a practice for us as followers of Jesus who have the value of being generous so that we can participate in the generosity that God invites us to is maybe less is actually more. Maybe the less is actually more. Maybe we begin to live our lives and adjust our lives so that we have some margin in our lives to give, to be generous, so that when the Lord so that's, you're able to respond. Or maybe it is for you. Maybe you are living below your means, but you don't have a current regular rhythm of practice. One of my friends who's a pastor has a thing that she calls a whimsy fund. I love that word, whimsy. It's just light. It invites adventure and imagination. And that's what it is. It's a fund where she can just use it to bless other people at the moment's time, to whimsy, just at her heart's desire, so that whenever the Lord so that's, she so can. It's built in. It's built up, it's given out. Or maybe here's a new thing, this is what my daughter's been like working on me a lot, is maybe we start to carry around, you know, the things that are green, about this big, it's called cash. So that you can. There's so many times that as we, as people, can operate by blessing people just by the cash that we have. Because I think some of there's always those barriers, right? Like, oh, do you have Venmo? Can I cash app you? Can I write a check? I know some of you, right? Some of you are like, I want a check. And I'm like, ooh, I can't cash that. But no, like this thing of like, what would we do if we just carry around cash? But not only that, but in those three just minor ways, and there's a multitude of ways for us to practice generosity. But here's the thing about the practice. It needs to start being regular. Practice is regular. It's not complicated. The rest of society does it. We want to get better at something, we practice it. It needs to be regular. It needs to be time specific. It needs to be repeatable. Something that just doesn't happen once a year, but as repeatedly you practice and put yourself in the situation so that when Jesus so that, so you can. But some might ask, but I thought life as a disciple of Jesus was about faith. That doesn't seem very, like, faith-oriented. Can I tell you something about faith? Faith is risky. Faith is spelled R-I-S-K-Y. Risky. I know some of you, like, seniors are like, how did you get a diploma? You know, I went to a Texas school. That's all we got to say. no, but really, like, faith is risky. It can be prepared, it can be timely, it can be planned, and it still takes faith. I think there's so much times that Jesus doesn't just be like, oh, I feel like faith today. I think Jesus so regularly planned the so that's so that his people could be ready, not knocking on the door just in a moment's notice and people are so surprised. I think the so that's came so regularly, they were so cans all the time that we as people need to practice. Practice. Would you join me in prayer? Holy Spirit, you have been promised to us, which I believe, and you are here. You have also said that when you are here, you will speak. So, Father, what have you sent the Holy Spirit to say to us today? Holy Spirit, where in these last minutes have you been speaking to us that we are questioning in our own hearts of our identity, of our values, and our practices? Where are you speaking to us? Father, we proclaim that we love you, that you are our God, and we are your sons and daughters. Amen.